Hari Om. So here we are with Swami Shantananda Puri and Sri Ramanashram. And we're talking about how to measure progress in spiritual practice. And yesterday we spoke at length about progress, the lack of it, and whether it's needed. And we ended where Swamiji actually made this comment, very profound comment, that where is even the question of progress when it's really a dream? And so then overnight, I included some of Sri Ramana Maharshi's comments on it. So we're going to try to talk about this for the edification of all of us and those who are listening. So the Maharshi said in talks number 73, does not one find some kind of peace while in meditation? That is the sign of progress. That peace will be deeper and more prolonged with continued practice. It will also lead to the goal. Then the question Swamiji brought up again, and in the practice of meditation, are there any signs of the nature of subjective experience or otherwise, which will indicate the aspirant's progress towards self-realization? And the Maharshi answered, and later in talks 427, the degree of freedom from unwanted thoughts and the degree of concentration on a single thought are the measure to gauge the progress. So Swamiji, could you please discuss the difference of unwanted thoughts as opposed to wanted thoughts, how you try to, as the Maharshi is saying, free yourself from unwanted thoughts and deepen your concentration on a single thought.
See, the point is, all thoughts are based on your conditioning of this world. From birth to death, we are dealing with this world. When the child is barely 3 months old, you begin to teach him, this is a fan, this is your eye, this is your nose. We are trying to condition them to the objects of the world. And naturally, because of the earlier conditioning also, the child thinks, I like the fan, I dislike the AC. I like the, say, lady's finger vegetables, but I dislike some other vegetables. So all these likes and dislikes, preferences, so they induce the thoughts. The more you are with a particular object, you get a relationship with it, either in terms of love or in terms of hatred or in terms of ownership or in terms of, say, jealousy. So some sort of a nexus or a sort of a sambandha relationship you establish. The moment you have established, naturally the thoughts revolve around it. My neighbor is an enemy of mine. Every day he is something, he does something which creates anger in me. Yesterday, all the polluted leaves after eating, he had put it exactly on my doorstep. And the other day, just when I was coming out, his wife was pouring out some dirty water. Just at the time I was coming out, it all fell on my head. So naturally, your ire is aroused and you are thinking of ways and means how to quell this enemy. I will have to take some retaliatory actions. I should do something else to annoy him. Thus, your thoughts veer around your enmity. Similarly, I love my brother. My brother is in UK. I heard that for the last 1 month he has been hospitalized. He has not been well. The doctors are unable to diagnose. I'm worried about them. All my thoughts from time to time go there. I don't know what is happening. He has put off his cell phone. There is nobody else. He's alone. I don't know who is taking care of him. So all thoughts arise only about the world. Rarely a common child is taught to think of anything else. So all these sukadukas, all the consequential results which end in either pleasure for you or in distress for you or unhappiness for you, they are all around the objects of this world only. And so long as this is going on, it is an established fact that you will never get your permanent happiness, and the distresses and sufferings will never go, because this is the pre-written script of the Lord. A pre-written script of a drama has to contain the elements of all the rasas. So there has to be anger, there has to be battles. Otherwise, who will see a picture where everything is goody-goody? A man is there, daily he is eating, daily he is yearning, he is happy with his wife, he is happy with his son, nobody gets ill. Will anybody see such a picture? There's no entertainment value in it at all. So, all thoughts about this world are unwanted thoughts. Anything which relates to any of the objects of this world, which continuously torture you, which result either in temporary sukha, making you want for more and more of it, or dukkha, which you like to eliminate it forever. So, all the thoughts about this world, or any objects of the world, whether it is wife or child or your situation or your job or your position, it's all unwanted. Because it will never result in the ultimate happiness. So what is the wanted thought? Who is the owner of the super bazaar of happiness? People have all searched elsewhere, everywhere outside in this world, know where this permanent happiness are found. Because when all the objects are impermanent, all the objects are evanescent, where can you get permanent happiness out of an impermanent object? So you can never get it. So your entire purpose and goal of life is frustrated. So those thoughts are unwanted because they are not going to result in anything substantial and concrete. Then what is it? Ultimately it is the Lord alone, or what you may call the self-realization. If you are talking in dual terms, well, that God or the Divine Mother or Lord Krishna, going on thinking of Him, forgetting the entire of the world. There is the only thought which is wanted. You have to stick by any means to that one thought. That one thought will lead you ultimately one day to permanent happiness and to the elimination in toto of all unhappiness, distress and suffering.
So Swamiji, then it correct to assume that the thoughts themselves do not pose the great danger, but the relationship that's established through these thoughts. And so therefore, since we're creatures seemingly dependent on relationships, we should abandon the relationships of the world and establish a relationship with God.
Exactly. True. That is what is the only thing required. Constant remembrance of the Lord and forgetting yourself. See, remember the self. Remember the Paramatman. Remember the Lord. Forget yourself. Your limited self, the so-called the I, the so-called the body of the I, so-called relatives of this body, so they have all to be forgotten. Yeah, a beautiful anecdote comes to my mind. Our famous Rabindranath Tagore of Gitanjali fame, who got the Nobel Prize for it, he started a university called Vishwabharati University in Shantiniketan, where everything was taught, including the various fine arts. It is a very peculiar way in which it was run, in a very, very autonomous way. And number two in that organization was at that time one Gurudayal Mallik, who was also a highly spiritual man. And there was no Mahatma, there was no saint who were contemporaneous to whom he had never gone. He had been to Mahanandamayi, he had been to one Shobhama, like that. He had a love for all Mahatmas. A Japanese student who had finished his course on painting, he was to go back. So he took his autograph notebook and first went to Gurudayal and told him, "Sir, please write something in my autograph notebook." She just wrote one line. She said, "Forget yourself, Gurudayal Mallik." The next day he went to Rabindranath Tagore. He just saw the previous speech. He wrote there, "Remember yourself." And he wrote, Rabindranath Tagore. Both are right. It is a play on the word self and yourself. Yourself, when you add with you and I, it becomes a limited self. When there is no you or I, when the self alone is there, it becomes the Paramatman. So remembrance of the Lord and forgetting the I, that alone is sufficient to get the Lord.
Yes. At one time, a man from Mysore actually came before Bhagavan and asked this question. He said, "Bhagavan, how is the mind to progress in the right way?" And Bhagavan said, "By practice." Bhagavan continued and said, "You must give the mind good thoughts. The mind must be trained in good ways." So could you discuss the various ways to... It's an interesting idea because there are many aspects of Ramana Maharshi's quote on philosophy, but even though he was not a philosopher, and many of the more Advaitic will say, the mind does not exist. It's a total dream. But here, Sri Ramana Maharshi is not only saying the mind is a reality, but it must be trained up. So how is this to be done?
See, Bhagavan talks sometimes from the ignorance level. Sometimes he talks in the highest level. The same thing happens in Gita. At one time, Krishna talks as a friend based on the transactional world, based on this empirical world. Sometimes he talks on the highest truth level. So we should know from which level he talks. So this is according to the person, his perception, his method of understanding, his level of understanding. Mm-hmm. So here Bhagavan talks from the lower level. Because so long as you say that I want something, I have to improve, I have to come to God, I seek God, you are at a lower level. You are still at a lower level. Ultimately, there is nobody who seeks somebody else. It is the self seeking the self. It is the self praying to the self. It is the self meditating on the self. So there is nothing else. But, and ultimately there is nothing called a mind. It is a reflection of the total ground. But all these things will be beyond a common man. And then Ramana will have to write an entire book in reply to his question. So he starts from the level in which that person or those persons were. Yes, when we think that we are sadhakas, your mind is real, your body is real, your world is real. From there only you will have to proceed. So that is why we say, we are in darkness. There is no darkness. When the Lord alone is there, where is the darkness? But as we think that we are in ignorance, we are in darkness, we are in knowledge, so he says, lead me from ignorance to light, from darkness to light. So all these things, all these relative things come at a lower level, more or less at a starting point, or at the middle level. So naturally a mind does exist at that time. So the question is, how with your existing instruments, which are available, whether you call it a dream or not, which are available to you at that time, whether you call it reality or dream, which are available to you at that time, how to train the mind? The mind, why does it need training? Because due to the past tendencies, it has been conditioned in different ways. It could be in the past life, I might have been a drunkard, I have been conditioned. So the mind has been conditioned to think of the evening when I can go and have my whiskey or my champagne. So you will have to recondition it for that purpose. So how to recondition it from the natural tendencies or the past tendencies? See, a tendency need not be a fact. 100% you are free to say, tendency, be silent, I will do what I want. You are the governor. A governor has got, when a president suit, he has got two advisors. The advisors can only advise. He cannot force the governor to act on his advice. He may act in his own way after hearing the entire thing. Similarly is we. We have got all the powers, but for janmas and janmas, all our actions have been induced by those tendencies. So the tendencies become a fact. The tendencies causes desire in the mind, and those desires end in action. I want to go to a casino and play. I got 1 lakh rupees today. I want to spend the entire thing. It is because of my past tendencies. I have been going perhaps in several times in the previous week. So how not to go there? Only by remaining in the company of holy men. There is the first requirement. Seek the company of holy men. Then the holy men again and again talk to you about the faulty ways of people. People who take to cigarettes. People who go to the house of prostitutes. People who play dice. People who play in the casino. People who murder. Thus, slowly, 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 if you go to the holy people's place and see how happy they are, and they are actually talking from their own experience, where, after all, if you are going for all these things, they are all going to end one day in the cirrhosis of liver, in various ways, or perhaps in AIDS. So you are going to have very severe problems, and they will begin to emphasize it also. And they will also give you an alternative. Look here, why do you take cigarettes? Instead you take the tulsi, which has been offered to the Lord. Think of him at that time. Take it as his prasad. It can do wonders when it goes inside your body and mind. It can purify your mind. Yes, it will do at that time. The person begins to believe, because he's seeing his believing. He's actually seeing those people who tell, they practice it and they are very happy, while this fellow is perturbed all the time. He is beset with various problems. So naturally going to satsang, by moving with such mahatmas or holy persons, slowly, slowly the faults of his way come to his mind, and slowly he tries to cajole the mind sometimes. He tries to threaten the mind sometimes. By some means or other, he tries to train the mind in the right direction. Automatically it is trained when it goes more often to the satsang, to the company of holy men, again and again and again and again, by hearing the various things, his mind changes. The tendencies which are there, they change. They keep quiet. They refuse to come out in the face of this stiffest opposition from those mahatmas. Thus, he can get trained this way. Wherever this satsang is not available, let him take to the various standard books by various standard mahatmas, where such things have been discussed. So what a man should do, what should be the right direction in which he should go, what are the wrong things he should not do. See, they are all very, very essential. And supposing he is not well read, so those books also he can't get, he can't afford to purchase, he is very poor. Then what he should do, how he should train the mind. Seek a guru. And if you only place your complete faith in the guru will be able to change you thoroughly. There was an Girish Ghosh. There was no vice which has not practiced. He was a dramatist. He was running a theater. He had to move with a number of ladies, some of them of not very high character. And he was lost in them. He was a brilliant scholar too. He used to write the dramas himself. When he puts the drama on Adi Shankara, and when he talks on Advaita, you will think Shankara himself will come on the stage. He is Bengali and his English were beautiful, and he can put them in very nice manner. His knowledge of the theories of these philosophies were also equally good. In spite of all these things, he was a drunkard. He had never had peace of mind. Somehow, by the will of the Lord, he comes to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa begins to indulge him. One day when he was sitting depressed, because he had come with his friend doesn't make any move. He feels restless. I should move this very, what, this boring old man? He's talking on something. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa tells one of his disciples, go there, his car is there, the chauffeur will be there. On the back side, he has kept some bottles. Bring one and give it to him. Poor fellow, he is restless. Can we think of a guru? The ways of the guru are devious. A day came when voluntarily of himself he left off. Coming again and again to him, he knew that this is not good for me. So he tells, I am helpless. My tendencies are so forceful and compulsive. I can't live off drinks. What should I do? He says, give the complete power of attorney to me. He didn't understand in its fullest implication. He said, okay, given. When he went home, took up his first glass of whiskey, he remembered, I have given my power of attorney. Yeah, power of attorney, when once it is given, the owner cannot act anymore. The entire power, and when it is irrevocable, you can't do anything permanently. The entire power to deal with that item for which the power has been given is complete to the one who has taken the power of attorney. He can't do anything. He said, my Lord, I can't now drink it without his permission. I'll have to go again. Those days there was no cell phones, and our Ramakrishna himself was not having even a landline. So he couldn't ask him. He had to leave. It had happened several times to him, and ultimately, and not only that, once he said, hell with him, he poured the whiskey in the glass. He saw Ramakrishna Paramahamsa standing, smiling at him. Oh my Lord, how can I take this? He's there, standing and observing me. He couldn't. Ultimately, he turned into a nugget of gold. Girish Ghosh was one of the best of his disciples. One day on the Kalpataru day, a few days before his death, when he comes into the Kasipur garden from up above, the first one he meets is Girish Ghosh. He comes and prostrates. Hey, who am I? He says, you are the very one who created this world. You are the very one who maintains this world. You are the very one who dissolves this world. What else are you? You are the Parabrahman. His knowledge, his conviction, his belief, everything was so fine. Automatically he got transformed. Not through anything. The power of his vibration was sufficient. A day came when Ramakrishna Paramahamsa went to his house and gave him a lecture on Vedanta. When he began, within a minute he says, stop it, stop it. Everybody was shocked. He's talking like this to the great Paramahamsa, our guru. Stop it. This sort of crap of Vedanta, the bookish Vedanta, I have myself written in various scripts in the form of Shankara, in the form of Chaitanya, in the form of Kabir. I could use better English and better Bengali than you, because I am MA in Bengali also. I don't want all this crap. Do something to transform me. For a few minutes, everybody was paralyzed. But slowly, a small smile spreads on the face of Paramahamsa, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Suddenly, some electric shock like goes through the entire body of Girish Ghosh. He was transformed in a second. So these are all methods. But supposing you don't get a guru also. If you are really having your goal as your permanent happiness and permanent peace, pray to that owner of that super bazaar of that final peace. Pray to that Lord. Pray to that Paramatman. Daily you weep, Lord, my mind is going in all directions. I cannot do anything. This is the only way. Apart from that, what does our Gita say about it? It says, Abhyasena ta Kaunteya Vairagyena ta Gacchati. This is a common sutra which all people will not be able to do. He says there are two prongs. Apply it, you get it. Your mind is completely transformed. One is Vairagya. Vairagya means 100% disgust or keeping away. It is not even a disgust. Absolutely you are not tempted, so you are keeping away from all the objects of enjoyment, all the sensuous objects in this world. You are not attracted by anything, neither by hate, nor by attachment, nor by jealousy. Absolutely you are neutral to all. So that is the stage. You cannot leave one cigarette in your entire life. You cannot leave one LSD in your entire life. You cannot leave one hookah in your entire life. You cannot leave your affection for your only child, age about 5 years. It will take you years and years to develop that vairagya. Is it so cheap? Can you get it? Yes, there is a way. There is a long, long, long way. It is extremely difficult. And when once you leave 20 and when you come 21, who knows, you might again go back to square one, cultivate one of those old ones again. It is extremely difficult. Yes, abhyasa. You can have that. Again and again, you make 1,000 times, you may fail. Again and again, you say, you pray to the mother, and you also try. Next time, I'm not going to shanti. Next time again, Lord, please help me. Next time, I don't want to smoke cigarettes at all. Please, 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 weep before the Lord. So, prayer, this is the ultimate. Somebody said, ask somebody, a Mahatma, I can't do that also. Then what shall I do? He said, go to hell.
Swamiji, you mentioned these things as taking effect slowly. And Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi used the word protracted. It happens over a long time. And actually, the Maharshi quoted the Bhagavad Gita. I believe it's chapter 6, 25.
Shanai, Shanir. Ah, this is it.
The mind must be gradually brought to a standstill. So we must have patience. Is that also a virtue that must be cultivated in this training of the mind?
It's not the question of state of the mind. If you want to reach your goal, over the entire thing of reaching the goal, not to speak of these parts of sadhanas, you should have the infinite patience as if it will take billion years. But you should work not with the frustrated mind. Yes, it will take a million years. Now I will do my japa 108 times. After all, it is going to take 20,000 years. No. You do with that enthusiasm that tomorrow you are going to get it. That zeal and enthusiasm, that should be absolutely no shortage of it, then who knows, you may get it in a trice. That is the secret of it. You do with all your patience, that is without any quick expectations. After all, in a long expectation, it's not an expectation at all. Rather, you are just doing it. You don't know when the results will come and what the results will be at all, but you are doing it either because it is told in the scriptures or because your guru told. Somehow you are doing it, but never, never let your zeal and enthusiasm wane. That is very important. That zeal and enthusiasm implies that you love your goal dearly. And as such, every second you may get. So like that, a zeal as if you are going to get it within 10 minutes. Do it with that. Don't say it is take 20,000 years. So today I will skip over my japa, man, I have to go for the party. No, you are going to get it within few minutes. Work like that. Who knows? See, nobody can know the law of that Lord. One may get it in a trice even. The entire thing, everything he can bypass when he wants to give. When the grace comes, everything will be bypassed. All the sadhanas could be bypassed. But for that grace also, you have to do some efforts. That effort is your longing for the goal, your love for the goal, an enthusiasm for the goal, and continuing to do whatever sadhanas are prescribed by your guru or by the shastras with all enthusiasm.
Does anyone have a question or a comment? Because, you know, for the people who are listening, this room is filled with several people.
If you don't mind, The only shortcut here is take abhyasa, leave off the word vairagya. Vairagya, when does it come? My child has taken away the teddy bear of my neighbor's child. The child is making human cry and my child refuses to part with it. The moment I snatch it away, he will create hell again. The only way is I bring an electronically operated robot toy, robo. I bring it to him. It can smile, it can talk to him. Ah, he throws away the teddy bear and takes it. Lord is that tempting bait of a robo. So, if somehow you can present it in a good light, if you come across such a guru, that can very easily do it. So, for that purpose, prayers, prayers, prayers. Somehow, more than meditation, personally I set a value on the prayers a lot. And meditation on the same subject may take a long time. But in the prayers, as what all you think, what all you have in your heart, whatever is your frustration, you give it all out as if you are talking to your dearest neighbor or your dearest friend. Confide all your problems to him. Tell him, Lord, Vairagya, that word can never come in my dictionary. Please, yes, abhyasa, I can do sometimes. So please help me. But every day you do it, morning and evening do it, whenever you get time do it. When you are there, suddenly when you think of it, privately you talk to your Lord in your heart and say, I don't get time. These 2 minutes or 3 minutes when I pray, please take them as sincere and genuine. Please help me. Without your grace, I cannot succeed in this attempt of mine. I can never reach my goal. Whatever is in your heart, you talk, no big language is required. Let it be an illiterate man, even he can talk in his own illiterate, corrupt language even. But let it be genuine. Let your entire heart be out for it. This can come only when there is a genuine longing for it. The higher the longing, the nearer the goal will become.
Swamiji, some people have said that you can see how far you have progressed for yourself by looking at the reaction of your mind. How many times it reacts, how deeply it reacts.
See, there are dangers. Yes. Temporarily, you are waiting for a promotion as a civil surgeon for a long time. It has already come. Everybody congratulated you. For a few months, you float in an ecstasy. So when you sit in your meditation, you are absolutely happy. You require nothing. You have got it. Is it, sir? See, a fulfillment of your deep vasanas also can bring you temporarily for some time. After all, permanent happiness, even the other way, you are not going to get immediately. So we may fool into thinking, yes, so this is perfectly okay. I am getting my civil surgeon. After all, I am doing half an hour of meditation. Both are okay. See, I am in this one. So it cannot be 100% acid test for this purpose.
Swami, why should we worry about how much and what step we are? We just keep on doing it.
That is what I meant by saying, have the rinjas, if you are going to get it, that is the best way. But unfortunately, we are all accustomed to progress. In the sense, last time I got a bad commission report. This time I did my very best. And my GM came and told, oh, very good, you have improved. Sir, all your meharbani, sir. Thanks to you, sir. We felt pleased. That is all. So, we have always been thinking of doing something, getting an applause, doing something, getting somebody's approbation.
Yeah.
We have always been looking after others' opinion.
Yes, yes.
In my neighbor's opinion, my boss's opinion, my boy's opinion, everything has been there, or husband's opinion.
Or my own ego might be telling me something.
That is what I say. That is what I say. So, this is not a path as in other cases. So, forget the rules which are being applied for a normal, your mortal life here. There is that. And that is something there. When you are going for the maximum goal of everybody's life, which is not an ordinary thing like getting one gulab jamun. It is a perennial happiness of which you have no idea at all. And why are you bothered with the purpose? You do, you go on. Your own very long you will get it. The moment you are asking for a progress means, it is a full stop at that time. Your sadhana stops. You want to know whatever you have done, am I getting the applause? That is what it means. The moment you think of progress, your progress, if any, stops. And this is not like building, like constructing a building. Oh, I have now put the foundation. I have come to the wall level. I have come to the plinth level. Now the roof is there. Now the first floor it comes. This is not like this. Don't compare it to the worldly things. You cannot think otherwise. Your mind has got barriers. It's called the barriers of perception. You live off all those barriers. None of these things apply there. It is a land which you have never seen, which you have never heard of, which you can never imagine. And you want to apply the laws of this land to it. So, go with the absolute faith in your Guru and in the scriptures and in the Lord's grace. Yeah. It will come, it will work, I have to get it. So there is no question of seeking progress. Yes, supposing somebody said you have done 60% progress, in what way it is going to help you? Yes, 60%, if Hanuman is to traverse through the entire ocean, he says, oh, I have done 60%. It may be in the next step you will become tired and may fall down into the ocean. 60% is no solace. Even 90% is no solace. Only 100% is the only solace. That is the only progress. Progress is either 0 or 100%. In between, the question of progress does not reach. In the ultimate affair, the entire thing is the drama of the Lord, where the Lord himself has taken your form. And then it looks as if it's a progress. The entire thing is a superimposition of a dream on you. That is why he has given that dream. Whatever you see is not correct. It is not truth. Whatever you hear is not truth. What happened in your dream? And people have been here, they have told, yes, this is all unreal. There is a state beyond it where you wake up, which is called the Turiya state. When none of these problems will arise, none of these questions will arise. Bhagavan has told several times, all these questions arise in your ignorance. Wait till the last. Why are you putting questions in an immature stage?
Swamiji, this morning you spoke about this drama, or however we want to apply it, as a razor's edge. And we must travel across a razor's edge. Therefore, some caution must be employed in order to not be cut up as we're trying to progress toward the goal of life.
See, what is meant by the razor's edge? Yeah, razor's edge means, because today I have conquered my senses. Today I am concentrating for 24 hours. Don't take it, I have reached the stage. Now I am there almost, my sadhana will go on. Every second, beware. Every second you may fall down. Your smallest thing may attract you. Your Jada Bharata, your King Bharata left everything and came up. He saw a small deer, it became dearest to him. The deer became dearest to him and he lost his opportunity for moksha in that birth. There have been Swamijis who have done a lot of tapasya, I know. But somehow or other, it so happened, he was a big musician. A lady was often coming and saying, oh, I have never heard you are a Gandharva, it's a Gandharva Gana. Swamiji, she will come. I've got a doubt, she will come. She will say, Swamiji, this Devagandhari and the Bhimplas of the North, are they not the same? What is the difference in Arohana? I said, no. That is, it goes from gar to the, but here there is no Nishada. Now we understand. So, they come close, discuss the same thing, and then an attraction comes. Finally, he marries her. How many cases? There is one Swamiji from Trichur used to go to Bombay in 1941. There were three brothers. All of them were sannyasins. I am told when he used to go to this thing, he was a hot chili. His lectures will be full of fireworks. He will see You householders going behind your wife like the dogs pursuing. Like this he used to talk. It so happened, in 2 years, he married a sannyasini. And both came to talk. They pelted stones. And then he said, look here, I am not really a sannyasi. My mother gave a kapda, a dhoti of ochre color to all the three of us. He not only involved himself, he involved his other brothers also. None of us took any sannyas formally. So as said, there was no harm in our, in my. But he was a brilliant speaker. Later on, no doubt, both of them used to talk. When he died, he left some 20-25 lakhs for his wife. He died a few years back. This is what happens. So every moment be careful. See, in Valmiki Ramana, a beautiful prasanga comes. Ramana is lying dead, his wife Mandodari comes and bemoans. That is a beautiful sloka. He says, Indriyani Purajitva, you conquered all your senses. You went for a big tapasya. You didn't bother about your body. Your body went to waste. Ants sat the ant hills over your body. And thus, you are able to become the emperor of all the three worlds. But a time came when you forgot all your conquest of Indriyas. You thought it was permanent. You became lax. Those senses were waiting to have vengeance on you. What a vengeance have they now taken? Because of your karma, because of your lust, see, where is your body? Where have all those palms and glories have shrunk to this little measure? It's a beautiful sloka. So, the razors, Yajinda means the attraction of the entire world can come in any form. So beware on all these sides and don't think, because there are so many things, you mistake something for compassion. Compassion is limited. I rescue a lady, leave it, let her go home. Where are you? He will hire a taxi, take her there. What is your cell number? Exchange of cell numbers. The next day morning, how are you, my dear girl? Not contemplating again to go and fall into the river? And she comes to him, he goes, well, I don't finish the story. So all these things can happen. You have to wait every minute on your God. Every time you are there with anybody, let it be. Have your wall. Even with your friends, even with a child, even with the cat which comes to your door daily and which you are feeding. So always you should be on God. See that your senses are not the least attracted. Never come into a complacence. Well, I have done it, now it's okay.
But if we tell our guru, you take care of me, I may fall somewhere, then what happens to me?
See, look here. Certain things which you can do, there is no use of telling him. See, these are all certain simple things. Yes, you can pray. That is for support. But if you are going on, you see, continuing with all those things, going around the girls and says, Bhagavan, you take me out of all these girls, that cannot be done. So, don't try to overburden God. He is already overburdened. So let us not give him also those jobs which we can easily do and which is our right jurisdiction to do. That is what I would say.
Well, you're talking about the dangers, or even we might say the poison of the sense objects. Adi Shankaracharya refers to it as Vishaya. Even more virulent than the...
Than Visha. Vishaya and Visha. Because the Visha or the poison, only when you eat it, it takes away your life. While this Vishaya or these objects, the moment you see you are out, by darshana matrena, by looking at it, even you are lost. You need not take it, you need to enjoy it. That's the thing. That's why he says it is worse than the Visha. Visha and Vishaya, there's a pun in those similar words.
Worse than the venom of a black cobra. So, but the world is so powerful and we're so sensitive. Is there an antidote to this Vishaya? Is there to this poison? Is there something we can be doing to counteract the input of the world, even if we're trying to restrain it? We're influenced.
See, there are only two things. Grace of the Guru or the grace of the Lord, they're all one. And secondly, prayers. prayer to the Guru, prayer to the mother. See, these are the Brahmastras we have. This is the ultimate Brahmastra. When nothing works, this can work. This can work. And apart from that, may I know the question again?
An antidote, something we can do to protect ourselves from the poison of the sense objects.
Yes. As I was telling again, poisonous or not, when a child goes after a particular thing, he have to divert his attention by giving something more attractive. There is nothing which is more attractive. You should make it look attractive to him. Slowly, slowly you condition him from the very beginning. See, this is very attractive. See, this has done this. See, this person, this bhakta got all these things. See, this bhakta has got now, he has gone abroad. See, this all because he was daily doing puja. Like that, you have to attract him to this line. By some means or other, by trying to find out the particular psychology of the person and accordingly feeding him in a similar way about God. It is a question of the container in which you give him the, you sell the lot to him. It is very essential in these days because Lord by himself is not very attractive to many. So we have to follow the American method of making that container or the medium through which you impart that idea of God to him. See, look here. Rukmini has never seen Krishna. He has never known about. And she, in every life, a Rukmini, Rukmini means a Jivatma. Rukmini means the golden one. And in Upanishad, the Jivatma, the individual ego is called Hiranmaya Purusha. It is the Jivatma. It has always been accustomed to be married to a Shishupala. Shishupala means the one who rears children. Our entire life has been meant only to rear children. All your salary is meant for his fees for IIT or for engineering colleges or for giving goose. And all that time, when he was a child, you were worried about him. When he was a boy, you were worried about him. When he is employed in USA, you were worried about him. So your entire life has been oriented around your children only. That is why we call it a life married to Shishupala. Even when you are retired, both the husband and wife, your son and the daughter-in-law, we go into the office, they will leave the child. Papa, don't forget, yesterday you forgot to give the Horlicks. I kept it near you. Don't forget, 1 o'clock you feed. So you are doing rearing of children. And nowadays I am told, many people go to their son's house in America. They said, Papa, you are after all sitting idle. The next door they have to go somewhere, there is a child. So you go and just look after the child for 2-3 hours, they will give you some $100. You can use it? Ah, very good. So it is not only the paripalana of one's own children. They get money by others' children, by looking after others' children also, by babysitting. It's very common for all the people who go to USA. They
it's
earn
more,
money.
Yeah, it's more like $5, not $100.
they earn money out of it. So, she only heard. But Narada sang songs. The song was attractive. The swara was attractive. Later on, the content caught her. The content caught her. He was telling there is nobody equal to him in all the three words. To Likoti was Manmatha. He was extraordinarily strategic in all his ways. He was extremely a diplomat. And nobody can stand near him when he fights. My Lord, all the things, so nice. He is still young. And so far he is not married. The most eligible bachelor. It caught her. Shrutva guna anbhavana sundara chinvatante. Lord, I am writing to you a love letter. I have never seen you, only by hearing about you. So, make it attractive to them through some stories, through the Puranic stories and all that. From childhood, you develop the people like that. Go on telling about the people, all these things. Then, so give something more attractive. That something is only the Lord alone. Make him very attractive in the way in which you talk about. You make animation pictures about the Lord's Leelas. You show all those things to him. Make animation pictures about Ravana's, how he was coming. Take some important anecdotes out of his life. Show the children every Sunday. That is how you have to attract them to this way, then they will forget all the other things and they will be coming down to this.
Is the remembrance of the name of the Lord a form of prayer that works as in this?
Yes, I've already told in one of our earlier ones. A prayer is different from chanting a name. If I only, I have to come and pray to you so that you may give me your shawl, your attractive MP3 and all that. So if I don't ask, if I simply come and say, oh Swamiji, oh Swamiji, oh Swami Sadashwanji Maharaj, Sadashwanji Maharaj, you will feel pleased. But you do not know even, yes, Lord knows, but He prefers that somebody ask Him for the specific thing. So your prayers develop your heart. Simply telling the name again, it will take a long time to develop your rasa or a deep interest in the essence of it. So it may take a long time. Rather, you every day you confide. The moment you begin to weep and confide your things, this is exactly what happened. She didn't know who the author of that fragrant flowers is. She very much wanted to meet him. Every day she was weeping that I should get him as a guru. When she first phoned up the printing press, he was absolutely, neutral. I just kept quiet. He didn't bother. I don't know. Something like that and all that. But again and again, when she was giving out her heart, so the moment she was praying to him in that sense, by telling that how interested I am in the answer, then even he couldn't resist. He said, don't worry, the day he comes to Thiruvanamayi, I will tell you. Within another few days time, he immediately told, look here, he is now at Thiruvanamalai. Yes. This is what happened. Yes. This same thing happens to Bhagavan. Taking the names is extremely good. It is just like a japa. But a prayer is a necessary precedent to japa.
Is this why you said in many instances in the past that the magic formula, the perfect composition, is japa and prayer in a period of meditation. You pray, you call on the Lord's name, you end with prayer. That method is productive.
Exactly so, because God cannot be reached by intellect. So by the dry intellect, by hearing some dry lectures, and by reading some dry books, and I may say, yes, by doing Gayatri Japa, I will get Om Bhav Bhav Satsat Sabhidurvaranyam Bhagavati Dehmi Om Bhav Bhav Satsat Sabhidurvaranyam. See, what is the use? Rather, you pronounce once Om Bhav Bhav Swaha Tat Savituhu, you are not able to progress. Your throat chokes. Tears come. You are unable to say anything. You are unable to think. Absolutely. Your mind alone, your heart alone is. So, in that stage, that one time repetition of the mantra is equal to 1,000 times repetition in a dry manner. So develop the heart, you can get him more easily. So a prayer is the method to develop the heart, to envelop the Lord with all love. Love cannot come from intellect, it can only come from the heart. So use your heart, expand it to comprehend everything about the Lord, then naturally it will go. It is a wonderful remedy. That's what I have found in my life.
Om, Om.